Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Samach Vav. We will begin on Daf Samach Heyom Beis. Today's shir is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shir is for Schus for Refuah Shleima for Shalom Ben Bracha. And today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Samach Vav. And we will begin on Daf Samach Heyom Beis immediately after the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us, we had learned in our previous shiur, that what a woman, if a woman finds something or a woman earns money, it all goes to her husband. Ask the Gemara, Mike Mashmalan, what is the Mishnah teaching us that we haven't already learned previously? To Nina, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Vav Amad Nem Vav Amad Beis, Hav Zak Vebita, a father has rights to his daughter, Behadof to receive the Kedusha Kesef, or if the Kedushin is done through a Shtar, or if the Kedushin is done through a Bia. In all these cases, it's the father's authority to make the Kedushin. Zakeh b'mitziyasa, if his daughter finds, his daughter, the Ketana, or the Nara, finds something, it belongs to the father, b'masi yadeha, and all of her earnings, or b'afaras nadareha, the father has the right to be mefid in the darim of his daughter. The kabbalas gittin, if she receives a get from erisin, it's the father who receives the get. But if the girl owns assets that are hers, and as we often explain, they were given to her amnas she'ein lavia rishuspa, they were given to her with the condition that a father may not have any rights to them, then the halacha is he does not get to eat the peiros nisus. But once she's married, yesol of abal, her husband has all of the rights that we just identified the father has, and the husband has one more right, shuaychel peiros, that he gets to eat the peiros. So if that's the case, why is the halacha that we need to learn in our Mishnah that the husband has these rights? Answers the Gemara. The reason our Mishnah was taught was for the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah. Baish to pegama istruchalei. The halacha, the Mishnah had mentioned the halacha of begoishis and begam. And to teach us, as we learned, the machlokes of Yehuda ben Seira and Rabbanan, that wasn't taught earlier. And now it was repeated to teach us this halacha. Says the Gemara, Tana Tana Kamei de Rava. Says the Gemara, the Braisa taught us, there was a Braisa taught to Rava, the Metzias Isha Latzma, that if a woman finds something, she gets to keep it. Rekiva says, Labala. Ask the Gemara, Amalei, so Rava asked the Tana who taught him this Braisa, Hashta, Oma Hadofa, as we learned and are going to learn, whatever a woman earns goes to the husband. But on top of what she earns, the halacha identifies exactly what she earns that goes to her husband. There is hadafa. If she earns more, the halacha is the hadafa or ma hadafa, the mas yadehi, that she actually worked for it. And we should say that the halacha is that it should go to the husband. The halacha is Amar B'kivil Atzma, that it goes to herself. Mitziyasa, that certainly, says the Gemara at this point, there's less reason to suggest that the husband should be entitled to the Mitziya. Hadafa is something that's expected, because she works, so as we're going to be discussing soon, sometimes she earns more than was expected. So if the halacha is that doesn't go to the husband, Latzma Mitziyasa, if she finds something, Lakoshkein, that it should remain with her, and how we're saying that if she finds something, it goes to the husband. So the Gemara first quotes the Mishnah regarding Hadafa. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Kainam, if a woman made a neder shani oisla picha, that anything I earn should be also to you, my husband, and a tzarech l'hafer. There's no need to be made from the neder. The neder is not invalid anyway, because one cannot make a neder on something that they don't own. And since the wages she earns belong to her husband, she's not in a position to make a neder that those wages should be usur. Holds yofer, that the husband should be made for the neder. And as we know, a husband has a right to be made for the darim, because we need to be concerned, shema tadif alav yosem naroyloi. Maybe she's going to earn more than the halacha requires her to give over to her husband, and that part she doesn't have to give to the husband, and therefore the nether would be effective. To avoid the nether from being effective, the husband should be mefer. The Tanakama disagrees and says that there's no need to be made for the nether, because according to the Tanakama, even the hadofa goes to the husband, and therefore the nether was an ineffective nether. But what do we see from here? That the hadofa goes to the wife, and therefore if the hadofa goes to the wife, certainly the metzia, which is less likely and less something that we should assume is going to happen, should go to the wife. Ella Epoch says, because of this, says the Gemara, we have to reverse the opinions. And we're going to have to say, Metzias Yishalabala, if a wife finds something, it goes to her husband. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that it goes La'atzma. And that's why Rabbi Kiva indeed will hold that both Hadofa and Metzia go to herself. Ask the Gemara. This Brisa taught us, we're talking about who gets the Metzia of the wife. Ask the Gemara, and we're basing it on what is the halacha regarding hadofa. Says the Gemara, "Vaki asa Ravin, Amr Rabbi Yochanan." When Ravin came and he said a name for Rabbi Yochanan, hadofa shloya deyetchak, something that she did not have to work hard to get the hadofa. So Rashi explains that hadofa shloya deyetchak means that she didn't have to get up early. She didn't have to stay up late to earn that money. That's called Hadofa Adei Tzchak. However, the Shita quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. And the Shita, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, says that what's Hadofa Shlai Adei Tzchak? It's something, sometimes a person is working with material and they're given a very high quality material. Since they're given a very high quality material, that material is easy to work with, and you could produce much more because with that type of material. And that's what the Shita explains is considered hadofa shloya deitchak. So says the Gemara, hadofa shloya deitchak, the hadofa that the wife earned shloya deitchak, kula amaloi pligi, everybody agrees, the baal hava. Everybody agrees that that belongs to the husband. Loi pligi, the baal hava, ki pligi, when do we have a machloikus, says the Gemara? Ba'adofa shloyei tchak. That means she did more than she was required. The simple pshat is that she worked extra hours in order, she got up early, she went to sleep late, and that's how she earned that extra money. Tanakam sova, the Tanakam's opinion is that even that hadofa labala goes to the husband. And I saw that the Shita, again, quoting Rabbi Chananel, explains that she thinks that she's doing her husband a favor. She's working hard and she's earning extra money, and that's why it should go to herself. But really, it belongs to the husband. And the reason, he explains, it belongs to the husband is because if she works so hard, she's not going to feel so well. And the doctors and the husband is going to have to deal with all the issues that come because she's not feeling so well. So we think it's really hers because she is the one that brought that hadofa. But the husband ultimately is going to have to pay for that hadofa. And that's why the Tanakama holds it goes labala. The Kiva holds that since she worked hard for it, la'atzma, it goes to her. So the question now goes that how do we say that the metziah goes to the woman? The metziah is like hadof shalai yedei tchak. The Gemara is assuming at this point that people don't have to work hard to get a metziah, And since people don't have to work hard to get a mitzvah, it should fall into the same category as Adofa Shlo Yedei Tchak. And we just learned that Adofa Shlo Yedei Tchak, everybody agrees it goes to the husband, to the father, so if, or to the husband. If it goes to the husband, why would we say mitzvah is different? Amra Papa, mitzvahsa, the comparison is incorrect. Because says the Gemara, mitzvahsa kedofa Shlo Yedei Tchak. It is considered Deitchak. People don't find things without having to do something. And therefore, the Gemara is comparing it to Adofa Deitchak. And therefore, the din of Mitziah will be the same as the din of Adof as Adofa Deitchak, which the Gemara just told us, the rule of Adofa Deitchak is actually plucked to the Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan, Machloikis of Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. How does the halacha view Hadocha Idei Etchak? So, as we just learned, that the Mishnah is teaching us that the Hadofa Idei Etchak, the reason the husband gets the Hadofa is that he has to give her a spending allowance of one silver more for miscellaneous expenses. And for the food that he gives her, she gets the right of earnings. The shulchan. Now the question is that the Paiskim discuss is what is considered Ma'asi Yedeha? What is considered earnings that a wife has that go to the husband? Because I saw a very interesting machloikis between Rabbi Yaakov Beloi Zatzal, the Pischei Choshen, and Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal. When we speak in our Gemara about the different work that a wife earns and turns over to her husband, is that only the different types of labor that are identified in the Gemara? Or is it anything that a wife does for a husband? The Pischei Choshen's opinion is that although the Gemara speaks about sewing, etc., those are the type of work that were typically done by women. But he explains, it's not to say that only the profit, only the earnings of that type of labor belong to the husband. Any earnings belong to the husband, and therefore, nowadays, women typically have all sorts of jobs. The halacha will be that all those jobs go, all that money goes to the husband. Rabbi Yoshev disagrees. And Rabbi Yoshev says that money that the wife earns, not from a job that was mentioned in our Gemara, is not considered earnings that she has to turn over to her husband. The Braisa teaches us that we learned in our previous year that a husband is entitled to his wife's leftover food at the end of the week, which she did not use. Tosfos in Masechta Nozer, Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis, explains the Brice is referring to a woman who did not spend all of the money she received for her food because she purchased her food on sale. But says Tosfos, a woman who deliberately starved herself to save the food or the money is entitled to keep the leftover for herself. Rashi says that a husband is entitled to the leftover food that his wife didn't eat, or the leftover money that she didn't spend on food, because let's say she doesn't eat that much. It seems that Rashi agrees with Tosfos, that it's only because she doesn't have an appetite, or only because she bought it on sale, is the husband entitled to the food. But let's say a woman held herself back, that's like Hadofa, that's like maybe a Dayat Chak. And in fact, Ramosha, in the Tshuva, Eris Moshe writes that this question, if a woman ate less than she really would want to eat, just that she should have leftover food or leftover money that was given to her to buy food, is connected to the machloikis that we just learned between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Kiva, that Hadofa Yidei Tchak goes to the wife, says Rabbi Moshe, the money she saved, that she didn't eat everything that she could have eaten just to save, should go to her. Whereas according to the Rabbanon, that money is considered like Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, and since it's considered Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, the Rabbanim say that the Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, they hold, goes to the Rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, Boy Rapapa, Oslo Shtayim V'Basachas, if she did she worked two jobs at the same time, what's going to be the halacha? Is that going to be considered Hadofa Idei Yitzchak? Is it going to be considered like a Metziah, which will be the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan? According to Rabbi Kiva, she could keep it. According to Rabbanan, she may not. Or ask the Gemara, by Ravina, Shloisha Oy Arba Bas Achas. If a woman did three or four different jobs at the same time, and the question is, Mahu? Again, how does the halacha view it? Does the halacha look at it like Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, or does the halacha not look at it that way? And as I saw the Rishonim explain, what's the point of these two questions? And the Gemara, they explained that the Gemara means to say as follows, that even if you'll say that two jobs at the same time are not considered Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, perhaps three jobs at the same time or four jobs at the same time, everybody will agree, are considered Hadofa Idei Yitzchak. There's a machloikas Rishonim that Reb Papa asking this question, according to whom is he asking the question? Most Rishonim learn that he's asking the question according to Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva just taught us that there's a concept of Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, and now the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Kiva, who introduced this concept of Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, the question is, what does Rabbi Kiva, are these going to be examples of Hadofa Idei Yitzchak? But I saw that the Rav Haigoin says that the Gemara's question here is going even according to the Rabbanan. That even though the Rabbanan did not agree with Rabbi Kiva when they spoke about Hadofa Idei Yitzchak, it could well be that such a situation where a woman is doing so many different jobs at the same time will be considered, even according to Rabbanan, a situation where she's entitled to that extra work. Here, our Gemara introduced the concept of doing a number of things at the same time. And how does the halacha look at it? It's a very interesting discussion that the Poskim have regarding Hilchos Shabbos. The question is, could somebody on Shabbos wear an automatic watch which actually gets wound and works longer as I walk carrying it? And why is this a question? Because the Rajba Paskins, that they used to have silkworms, and they used to put the silkworms under their armpits, and that would cause that the eggs should develop into silk. And the halacha is the Paskin of the Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Sim Shin Ches Sim Memevov, Sif Memevov, is that one is not allowed, we're not talking about the carrying aspect, but one is not allowed to do this on Shabbos because it's considered as if you're creating the silk, and it's Isser Moilid. So now the question is, if you're walking, so we see from here, even though it's a passive act, something that's passive is still considered Malacha Shabbos. What's going to be the halacha, therefore, if you're walking with your wristwatch, and by you walking with your wristwatch, it gets wound up? Is that going to be considered also an act of melacha? And they want to bring a raya because our Gemara, the Rishonim, when they speak about the example of somebody doing three or four jobs at the same time, how could somebody do so many jobs at the same time? And they say that she's watching a field, and she's sewing or weaving, and she's teaching to sing, and she's also holding eggs in her lap that will hatch. So we see from here that a passive act is considered a malacha, and therefore maybe ought to be that it's usher to wear such a watch on Shabbos. However, Rav Ozan Zatzal, in the Shas HaTshuva Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel Simen Tzadik Zayin, discusses this question, and he says, let's understand the difference. There's a fundamental difference. He says somebody who's walking with these worms under their arm Why would somebody want to walk would or walk that way? The reason somebody would want to walk that way is because they want to cause that the eggs should hatch. So that's exactly my intention. And since that's exactly my intention, yes, I'm accomplishing it in a passive way, but the halacha teaches us that a melacha that's done passively, a melacha that's done passively is still considered a melacha. Whereas, he says, somebody who's walking wearing a watch, the reason he's walking wearing the watch is not because he wants the watch to get wound up. He's walking because he wants to wear the watch and be able to see the time. What happens by him walking that way is, yes, that his watch gets wound up. But since that is not the purpose of his walking that way, it's not considered a melacha. It's not considered a melacha, and one can walk with such a watch on Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah that if a woman was wounded and there's boishus begam, so Yehuda ben Beseris said that if it's a concealed wound, then she gets two-thirds of the payment, and he gets one-third. And if it's in a revealed place, then the husband gets two-thirds, and she gets one-third. Says the Gemara, asked him, Maskel Rabbi Bachanan, Ela me'atop, biyish susa shel chaveroi. If somebody embarrassed somebody else's horse, hachinami deboil mitanlei, is the person who owns the horse, entitled to boishes? And we're learning that if somebody owns something, it's not the person himself. They're entitled to boishes, and that's why the husband is entitled to the boishes of the wife. So the question is, why over here does he get the boishes? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. The sus bar boishes hu. The Gemara explains. The Gemara is saying that there's no question of boishes on a sus, because a sus is not capable of being embarrassed. Says the Gemara, the question should be asked this way. El roka bebigdei shel chaveri. If somebody's wearing a clothing and somebody spit under his clothing, but so the embarrassment wasn't to the person himself, it was to the garment that he's wearing. Hachanami de boil mitanlei boishes. Will the person who did so have to pay boishes? And says the Gemara of Chitaim, and if you'll indeed argue that hachinami, that he is entitled to boishes, but ask the Gemara, v'tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, rokak v'chigia by a roik, if somebody spit at somebody else and the saliva hit him, or paru roish isha, or he took off a woman's head covering in the street, v'hevetaleisei mimenu, or somebody pulled off somebody else's garment in a public area, chayiv litnoi, he has to pay boishes, a payment of abameizos. Vam rapapa, and in that Mishnah teaches us rapapa, loishana elaboy. This halacha is only if the saliva hit the person himself. Ava v'bigdoi, but if it hit the garment, potter. So we see that even though the person was certainly embarrassed when he was spat at, the halacha still is that if it didn't touch him himself, then it's not considered boishes. So certainly that if the boishes was on the wife, even though it's embarrassing to him, why is he entitled to boishes? Says the Gemara, the comparison is not correct. Big day less leather zusai. When you talk about a garment, even though the person who was spat at and the spit hit the garment, is not the person is embarrassed, but it's not, the halacha doesn't consider it as if there's an act of boishes here. However, when somebody's wife is embarrassed, we have the concept of ishta kegufoi, and since we have the concept of ishta kegufoi, embarrassing a wife is the equivalent of embarrassing the person himself. Ask the Gemara, if this is the halacha that we're now learning, Amalei Ravina Lervashi, Ela Me'ata, Bayish Oni Ben Toivim. If somebody embarrassed a poor person who comes from a nice family, and the Rishonim explain why we have to speak about an Oni that comes from a prominent family. The same halacha ought to apply to a wealthy person who comes from a prominent family. And the Rishonim explain, A poor person that comes from a prominent family, typically the members of the family are going to be the ones that will take care of this person. And since they're the ones that take care of this person, if this person gets embarrassed, it's as if he himself, as if they got embarrassed. But if the person who was embarrassed is a person who's an usher and he could take care of himself, if he's an individual who's an usher and could take care of himself, if he's embarrassed, it really doesn't affect the family. So ask the Gemara, Bayish Oni Ben Toivim, if a poor person from a prominent family was embarrassed, and as we just explained, this lays a loose, so that embarrassment affects the entire family, L'kul Mishpacha, will the halacha indeed be, Hachanami Dabai L'mitin L'hubayish L'chal Mishpacha, that the entire family is entitled to Mishpacha? Amalek says the Gemara, you can't compare the relationship of a family member to the relationship of a wife. Says the Gemara, Hasam, a family member, Lav Gufayu. We don't have the concept of Ishtoi Kigufay. Hacha, but when somebody's wife is embarrassed, Gufay Havay. Because we have the concept of Ishtoi Kigufay, it's as if the person himself was embarrassed. Teaches us the Mishnah Paisik Mos L'chasnai. If somebody promised money to his son-in-law, as they had when they had Erison, and the terrible tragedy, Umeis Chasonai, and his son-in-law passed away before it was the Nesuin. Amr Chachamim, so Chachamim say, Yochul Shiyomer, the father could say to this brother-in-law, to the brother of the Nifter, who, as we know, will now have to do Yibum, that he could say to him, L'achicha ha'yisei reitzo litein, your brother I was willing to give the nadin that I promised, l'cha yef shelitein, and you I refuse to give that. And that's legitimate, the Gemara will explain. Continues the Mishnah. Paskal l'hachnas loy, elef dinar. If a husband promised to give, if a father promised to give elef dinar for an adunya, who paisa kenegdan? When they write the number into the ksuba, the halacha is you have to pay. They write in chamesh esrei mana. They write in 1500. And the reason is that why do we write a third? As we're going to see, it's a third more. Why do we write a third more? Because the husband is going to be able to use this money to invest. And since the husband's going to be able to use this money to invest and earn money with this money, that's why it's appropriate then to add it. Ask the Mordechai, so why would this not be considered ribis? Why would this not be considered interest? So the Mordechai explains that the definition of ribis is aganotar, that I'm giving you money and you're paying me extra, and the reason you're paying me extra is for the right to hold on to my money. You're paying for holding on to my money. Over here, it's not that he's paying for the right to hold on to the money. We don't even have a date attached to it. We don't know how long this marriage will last. It's because he's paying for the investment, and therefore it's not considered ribis. So again, says the Mishnah Paskal L'achnas La'elf Dinar, the girl's father promised 1,000 dinar. When we write the ksuba, who pays the kenegna chamesh esrimana, we write 1,500, a third more. Or kenegra shum, if she brings different things into the marriage, clothing, etc., and those things, who pays the chamesh, they deduct 20%. And Rashi gives two reasons why we deduct 20%. One is because we're talking about clothing or different utensils that are brought into the marriage, and they depreciate over the course of the marriage, and therefore we write, and he's going to, when the marriage ends, the husband, these are Nechsei Tzoyim Barzal, are going to have to pay the value of these assets. Since they depreciate, he could deduct 20%. Another pshat that Rashi explains is that usually they want to make everybody feel good, and therefore they typically over-evaluate what these different items are worth. And since they over-evaluate what these different items are worth, when we write them into the ksuba, we write them at a 20% discount. And I saw that Tosfos explains that the reason Rashi gave these two different reasons is because we're talking about different types of items a woman brings into the marriage. One of the types of items that we said are clothing. And clothing that are worn on a regular basis certainly depreciate. Depreciate quickly. And therefore the 20% depreciation makes sense. But then there are different items that don't depreciate that quickly. So then the question is, why do we put in this lower number? And for that, Rashi explains that the reason we put in the lower number is because we typically over-evaluate their value when we write the ksuba. So to keep things honest, we do it this way. Says the Mishnah, Shum, again, different objects that are brought into the marriage and we write into the ksuba their value, shavim mana, if they're b'mana that they're actually worth, they wrote that it's worth a mana, or shavim mana, and they wrote, and that's what they were evaluated, ein lo ela mana, the halacha is that since that's the value, and they don't go up in value, that's the number we put into the ksuba. And the Gemara is going to explain. Shum b'mana, if they brought different objects into the ksuba that needed to be assessed, she has to really give 31 dinar. Because 31 dinar is 20% more than a mana. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is the halacha that we have just discussed, that whenever we bring that type of an object into the ksuba, it's evaluated at 20%. It's 20% less than it really is the value. Abameya, if they're going to put something in that says it's worth $400, hina senes chamesh meyas, the 20%. Says the Mishnah further, ma shechasim paisik, and what the chasim puts into the ksuba, hu paisik pachas chamesh, they put in 20% less than when it was worth. Tan Rabbanan begins the Gemara. The first rule that we learned in our Mishnah was in a situation where a husband was an oris, and terrible tragedy, before he could consummate the marriage into a nesuin, he passed away, and the father had promised a certain amount of nedunya. The halach is that he can't claim. The Yavam can't say, what you promised to my brother should come to me. Ein tzarich leimer, says the Braisa, certainly in a situation where the Rishon was a Talmid Chacham, the first Chasson was a Talmid Chacham, the Sheni Am Aretz, and the second Chasson was an Am Aretz, that certainly the father could say, I was willing to give a substantial Nedunya to a son-in-law who was a Talmid Chacham, not to a son-in-law who was an Am Aretz. But says the Gemara, Afilu Rishon Amoritz, even if the first son-in-law was an Amoritz, the Sheni Talmid Chacham, and the second son-in-law was a Talmid Chacham, so the second brother could say, if you were willing to be so generous to my brother, the Amoritz, you certainly should be generous to me. Still the father could say, Yochalayma, the father could say to this brother, L'chichia ha'isa ritza litein, I was prepared to give to your brother, L'chai yef shalitein. You, I'm not willing to give. And the Miri says, because he can make, the Miri gives two reasons. Number one, he could say, to me, the Talmud Chacham part is not what's important. What's important to me is a person's midas, the way a person behaves. And your brother was a bigger Baal midas than you are. That's one pshat that the Miri suggests. The other pshat is that he could say, since you're such a big Talmud Chacham, it's a similar pshat, since you're such a big Talmud Chacham, I'm concerned that you're arrogant, and I don't want to give money to an arrogant person. We learned in the Mishnah, Paskal Echsna Elef Dinner, and the two halachs we learned, that any money he's promised, we add a third, and any objects that are brought into the marriage, we deduct at 20%. But the Mishnah kept on teaching us the same halacha over and over. And therefore, asked the Gemara, Haina Resha, why is the same halacha repeated? Answers the Gemara, Tana Shomer Rabba, the Braisa talked about a case where he brought a big amount, that still, even she brought in a big number, because as we learned, the people overestimate, and therefore we take off 20%. V'tana, v'ktani shumazuta, even when it's not a big number, still the halacha is people overestimate the value. And then Tana Shem of the day, when he gave Tana Shem of the day, and we're talking about what she brought. Says the Mishnah Paskal Achnas Lok Sofim, that she brought, promised to bring a certain amount of money into the marriage, and the, of course, the condition is that if he'll die or divorce her, she gets that back. Seller, for every seller that she brings in, as we've been learning, he has to nasa shisha denarim, he has to add a third of that amount, because as we learned, any money needs to be increased by a third. Hachos makabalov, says the Mishnah, Hachos makabalov, asara dinim lakupa, the chosin accepts upon himself to give to the to a savings account on behalf of his wife, lechamana umana. For every mana, for every 100 dinrim of nadunya she brings into the marriage, he has to give 10 dinarim for the kupa. Rav Shimon says, there is no hard and fast rule, but hakol k'minhag ha-medina, we always follow the minhag ha-medina. Says the Gemara, Haina, so the halacha that we started our Mishnah is the same halacha that we learned in the previous Mishnah, that the chassan always has to add to the money a third. So ask the Gemara, Hainu Paisik Negecha Mesha Shemana. Isn't this the exact same halacha that we learned in the previous Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah said the same halacha twice is because Tana Iska Rabba, the Tana Iska Zuta. The Mishnayis wanted to speak about when we're dealing with a big amount and a small amount, the Tzricha. And we need to speak about both cases. The Nafish Ravcha. When there's a lot of money to be invested, so that's where there's a lot of profit to be made, and therefore that should be considered. Avo iskazuta, when there's not that much money invested, the Zota Ravcha, that the Zuta Ravcha, that there's not that much profit, Emaloi, maybe in that case the husband doesn't have to add a third tricha. The Yeshmin iskazuta, the Zuta Ziuna. When you don't invest that much money, you can't lose that much money, and you also don't have to be so busy with that money. Avol risk rabba, when you invest a large sum of money, the nafiz yuna, where there's a lot of responsibility and there's a lot of tircha involved in that investment. Emaloi, maybe we should say that you don't add this third. Tzricha, that in all situations, whatever money is brought into the wedding, we add the third. We learned further in the Mishnah, Hachos Makabalov, Asar Dinah Lekupa. For every mana of 100 dinar that's brought into the marriage, the chosin has to give 10 dinar to the kupa. Ask the Gemara, my kupa, what is the definition of a kupa? Amar of Ashi, kupa show besomim. They used to have to buy perfume for the wife. Amar of Ashi, lo'inemar dvar malalu el b'Yerushalayim. These halacha was said only in Yerushalayim. Because in Yerushalayim, typically people were wealthy and they needed more. And since the women who lived in Yerushalayim needed more, the chassan has to contribute this money into the kupa. I saw that the Shita suggests that if we're talking about Yerushalayim, says the Shita, in Yerushalayim, people did not need to use perfume because there was such a wonderful fragrance in Yerushalayim from the base of Migdosh, that there was no need for perfume. So if that's the case, what is the Mishnah speaking about besamim? So the Shita says that when we speak about besamim, we don't mean here besamim perfume, we mean different type of cosmetics that help the skin of the kalah. By Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says that when we have to put a sarah dinarim, what is the sarah, how do we evaluate that? Because as we've been learning in our shir, the number that's put into the ksuba is not the exact number. So do we use mana hanishim if the money that is the valuation, or the mana miskabel, or what he actually received? Do we put in the whole number? Is the number counted as the number as it appears, do we deduct the 20%? Imtun slaim mana miskabel. We're gonna whatever number. But yom rishon, does the wife get this allowance on the first day of the marriage, or kol yom v'yom? Or does we divide it over many days? And ask the Gemara. Imtun slaim kol yom v'yom. If we're gonna say that we're gonna divide it over many days, what does that mean? Shabbos Rishayna, just the first week of the marriage, I call Shabbos for Shabbos, not just the first week. In Timtzulayman, if we're going to say call Shabbos for Shabbos, that it's more than 1 week, what does that mean? Chodesh Rishon, all the weeks of the first month of marriage, I call Chodesh for Chodesh, not just the first month. And if we're going to say it's not just the first month, Im Tim Slaim Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh, is it the first month of Shana Rishayna? Or Kol Shana V'Shana, we go past the first year? And to all these questions, the Gemara remains with a teiku. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Masav Abita Shal Nagdimim Ben Gurion. There was a story with the daughter of Nagdimim Ben Gurion, Shaposkula Chachamim Arba Mei Zuhuvim. The Chachamim promised her, she was promised a tremendous dowry. Because the nedunya was so large, the kupa shabsamim was so large. Amar lahem, kach tifskul b'neseichem. And she said to them, just like you promised me, just that should be for you. Vanachre, amen. A very big machloikus rishonim, how to understand this gemara. Because we had a similar gemara in our previous year where they did not say amen. And Rashi explains that the reason they didn't say amen because she was a shemeres yavam. Here, she wasn't a shemeres yavam, and therefore there was no need to. They had no problem to say amen. Others say that there were difficult circumstances, but they still said amen. Tarim bana masav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shayroichav al chamor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey, v'yotzei Yerushalayim, and he was leaving Yerushalayim, v'yatalmidah mehalchen achrav, and his talmidim were following him. Rori ba'achas, and they saw a young woman, shayis malaketes sa'irim, mebein galoli behemtu shalavayim. She was picking up barley from the dung of the animals of the Arabs. Kim shirasa, I saw, the moment she saw him, this atva besara, she covered her face with her hair. From here we see that the hair that's used to cover a face, there's no problem of a woman's hair. Vom says the Eish Lavram. Vom Dolphan, she stood in front of him. Amaloi, and she asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe Panaseni, please give me tzedakah, I don't have what to eat. Amaloi b'ni, mi'at, who are you? Amaloi bas Nagdim ben Gurion ani, I am the daughter of Nagdim ben Gurion. Amaloi b'ti, mamash beis avicha hechen holoch, your father was a fantastically wealthy man. Where did all of his money go? Amalei Rebbe Loi Kedei Masla Masla. Isn't there a mashal said, Yerushalayim? Melech Mammon. If somebody wants to preserve his money, and salt was used as a preservative, chaser. Give away your money. If you give your money away to for tzedakah, then you will be able to hold on to your money. Vamrilei, the way you're able to hold on to your money is by doing chesed. So he said to her, Shabes chamicha eichenho, and what about you? Your husband was also from a wealthy family. What happened to his money? Amalei bozav ibrazeh. The two families combined and they lost all their money. Amalei Rebbe, sachar katash chasamta ksubasi. Do you recall when you saw my ksuba? Amalei matamidov, so he sold his talmidim. Zochani, recall, when I signed this woman's ksuba, I read that the elf alfei dinari zav mebeis avia, that she's bringing in from her father's home thousands and thousands of gold coins, besides what her father was contributing. And this is the source of the minig that at a wedding we read the ksuba. Bachar Rabbi Yochanan Zakev Amar Shrechem Yisrael. Bezman she'os mitzayin shemakim, when Klal Yisrael do what they're supposed to do, ain kol umah v'loshen shalatz b'hem. No one can do anything against them. However, bezman she'enos mitzayin shemakim, when they don't do what they're supposed to do, masrim b'yad umah shvela, they fall into the hands of a lowly nation. The Arbayim, they are Arabs. V'loy b'yad umah shvela al b'yad behemtam, as she was looking for the animal of the umeshvela. Asked the Gemara, the Nagdim and Megurion la'ovet staka, for Tanya, Amar la'val Nagdim and Megurion, they said regarding Nagdim and Megurion, she yoytz mebeis ala beis ha-medrish, when he would go from his home to the beis ha-medrish, klimalas hayu, they used to put out beautiful wool carpet, klimalas hayu mitzi and takhtav, or bar ani mekaplenes ha-mecharav, and the poor people would take that wool carpet. So we see he was generous. Ibais Eimah, answers the Gemara. What he did was only l'chvayde hu David. He only did it for his own covet. Ibais Eimah k'deber l'mavid lo yavid. He didn't do much staka as he should have done. K'damri inchi, as people say, l'fum gamla, according to the strength of the donkey, shichna, is the package that we put on him. And given that he was such a wealthy person, he should have given much more tzedakah. And because he didn't give that tzedakah, that's why he was punished. Dafla explains that the Gemara says, Melech Mammon Chaser. He says, if you take the word Mammon and you take out the letter Vav, you'll still have the spelling of Mem. Because Mem, Mem, and Nun is spelled Nun, Vav, Nun. The flaw says that even if you take out the Vav, even if you take out the tzedakah, you'll never lose any money. And why is, says the Kli Yoker, what is special about salt? So he says that salt has in it two different elements. It has in it the element of fire, it burns, and also comes from water, which is cold. Fire and cold represent Midas Adin and Midas Arachmim. A person who gives tzedakah is able to turn the Midas Hadin into Midas Rachmanis. And the Kedushas Yontov explains that a person who gives tzedakah is supposed to recognize that whatever tzedakah he's giving is not causing him any loss. If a person realizes, explains the Kedushas Yontov, that whatever he has really comes from Hashem, then when he does chesed, he doesn't feel that he has any loss. And that's why a person should look at giving tzedakah not as chaser, but a chesed, and recognizing that everything we have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then I saw a very powerful vart. We know that Hashem has in the world Doimim Tzemeach Chai Medaber. Doimim is something which is totally inanimate. Chai is animal. Tzemeach are things that grow. Chai is a living thing, animals. Medaber is a person. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I saw also this word from his grandfather, the Beis Halevi, discusses how do we look at Klal Yisrael? Do we look at Klal Yisrael as a Medaber plus, a very special type of medaber? Or do we look at Klal Yisrael as a whole new category? So he explains, we know that a doimim will always remain a doimim. But a tzemeach, something that grows, if it deteriorates, it becomes less than a doimim. A chai, an animal, if it dies, is less than a doimim. It's useless, we need to bury it. A medaber, also, when a person is no longer alive, he's even less than a doimim. However, says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that's what our Gemara is teaching us. Our Gemara is teaching us that when Klal Yisrael don't do what they're, when they don't do what they're supposed to do, it's not to be viewed that they're, okay, they're not Klal Yisrael. They're going to be like any other medaber. They'll be like the rest of the world. No. When Klal Yisrael don't do what they're supposed to do, they're considered totally nothing. They're not even kibahemtum. shel araya. So the question is, the Gemara says that he didn't do what he was supposed to do. So I saw that the Mefarshim say the famous vort from Reb Zisha. Reb Zisha said that when a person will come to Olam HaEmes, they're not going to have any claim to him that why didn't you do what another person did. There's no question that everybody could do what they did. The issue will be, why didn't you do what you could have done? And that's what the Gemara says, Kedibay Lemevid, what he could have done, like Ovad, he didn't do. And since he didn't do what he was supposed to do, there's going to be a claim to him. And that's what we say all the time. The same Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha. Each one of us is supposed to do what we're supposed to do. But we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. And then the Gemara said that the problem was that Kedibay Lemevid, Loy Ovid. He didn't do what he could have done. L'kvaydu David. He did what everything he did was for honor. So the Mashah asks that the Gemara in Masech the Pesachim teaches us that if somebody gives tzedaka, kidei shiyichye b'ni, I'm giving tzedaka because I want my son should be healthy. Harez et tzadik omer. So we see that doing something, giving tzedaka shaloi l'shma is okay. And here we see that it's not okay. So the Mashah explains that it's okay, it's all right if you do tzedakah with an ulterior motive. But if you do it with an ulterior motive, what is your ulterior motive? If your ulterior motive is something like yichye b'ni, then that's acceptable. But if your ulterior motive is covered, that is not acceptable. Rabbi Chanan, the Kavit Shurim, gives a different teretz. Rabbi Chanan says, it depends. If your intention when you're giving tzedakah is for the sake of tzedakah, but on top of the sake of giving tzedakah, you also have another motive, that's acceptable. But if your intention is if your intention is only the ulterior motive, that's what our Gemara says is unacceptable.